Well, it's a great privilege of mine to be able to introduce to you this morning, preaching his first message, Chris Fabry. And let's give him a hand. No pressure. Chris, his story is absolutely amazing, and his testimony is even more amazing. And this morning, you know, he is a ministerial candidate here at Trinity. He has a local license, and he has been taking classes, and I think he only has two or three more classes, and he'll qualify for a district license, which is a licensing that oversees 72 Nazarene churches in the Chicagoland area. And we are amazed about how much Chris has grown and his story, and so I just wanted to introduce you. I felt like it was such a great honor of mine to be able to introduce you this morning.
Thank you so much.
First things first, anybody win the lottery yesterday? No? We've got some tables that we need to buy, so. As Pastor said, my name is Chris Fabry. I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. And I struggle with alcoholism and substance abuse and anxiety issues. Good morning, good morning. You know, when Pastor invited me to preach today, I was filled with excitement and some terror. Not so much being terrified of public speaking, but I had thoughts of unworthiness creeping into my mind. After all, who am I but a sinner? But you know, I was reminded very quickly in the process that God loves me. And he proved that by sending his one and only son to die on the cross for me. And it was that death was freely accepted by Jesus. So whether I like it or not, God loves me, and he loves me very much, and he loves you very much as well. And if you believe that this morning, would you please say amen?
Amen.
Wonderful. Well, as you know, we're in the I Quit series. We're going to start on Principle 6 and Step 8 in a second here. But I just want to let you know that, or share with you, that I am a firm believer in the miracles that this ministry has produced and will produce, and I'm very excited to be a part of this church going forward. I was hopeless at one point and came in and met with Pastor Steve, and I was given hope. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I worked these steps, okay? And you need strength and courage at times to work these steps. The great news is Jesus is there to give you strength and courage. Okay, so I know this to be a ministry that it's a miracle ministry. Okay, it's a ministry that produces miracles. So this is a great, great opportunity, not an obligation. That being said, we're going to review where we are up to date. As you know, in previous sermons by Pastor Steve, we have faced our denial. Having done that, we admitted that we were powerless over our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Once we crossed that bridge, we placed our hope in God to help us quit. And hope is such a key word in this ministry. I'll be talking a little bit more about hope. My eyes have been opened to some amazing stories and more miracles regarding hope. Okay, we've turned our lives and our wills over to the care of Christ. This is an act of will. And when we do that, we accept Christ, amazing things happen. And the blessings start to flow. We get in the game by taking action. You know, these 12 steps, you have to do some work. There's some work involved. We get skin in the game. This is a good thing. You know, when we have faith, it doesn't just end there. We have to do our part, and we have to serve. So there's definitely work involved in the 12 steps. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We created an inventory, and after creating our inventory, we confessed all our shortcomings to God and to another person. You know, some at this point say, well, you know what? I confessed to God. Why do I have to confess to another person? You know what? This 12-step program was created by Jesus Christ, so there's a reason for everything. When you confess to another person, you get healing. Have you ever talked to someone after being down or being full of anxiety, and after you get it out, you just feel better? Okay? That's why this is in there. Okay? A brilliantly, brilliantly designed Christ-centered recovery program. Okay, we become fully ready for God to remove our defects of character. You know, this is an act of the will. This is sanctification, is it not? Sanctification is a word that I struggled with early on in my walk with Christ. What does that mean? Maybe you've struggled with that as well. Sanctification is asking Jesus into our hearts, okay? And after we do that, others see the life of Jesus within us, okay? And with sanctification comes our part, obedience, prayer, and service. When we do those things, the blessings pour through us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, we are going to jump right in it. We're on principle number 6. This is a new principle for us. I'd like for us to say this together, please. I believe this is on, there it is. Wonderful. Okay, if we could say this together, we evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Well, today's scripture reading is Matthew 5:7. That's one of the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We also have another scripture reading, Matthew 5:9. That's also one of the Beatitudes. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. That's beautiful, isn't it? So this brings us to step 8. We make a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Think about this step. If everybody everywhere right now were to do this step, the world would be a much better place, wouldn't it? I mean, really. I mean, this is a, you know, you don't have to have a hurt habit or hang up to want to work this step. And what a powerful step this is. It would make the world such a better place. Okay, the next reading we have is Luke 6:31. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Anybody remember this verse? This is the golden rule, okay? And isn't it amazing? And I found this in my work with, or my journey with Christ, in my walk with Christ, I should say. All this wisdom, all this love, all this understanding, you know, it's been under my nose all my life, okay? I accepted Christ when I was 52. I'm now 54. This is just another example of the power in God's word, okay? And you know, quite frankly, I've lived within 5 minutes of a church all my life as well. And I really didn't have a relationship with Christ, okay? That's on me. That's changed. It's there for everybody. I think that's a beautiful thing and a very comforting notion. Okay, now I'm going to get into hope. You know, as the ministry leader for the Celebrate Recovery ministry here at our church, I've been going to other churches to see those churches that have a Celebrate Recovery ministry already in place to learn, okay, best practices, and also to be a part of the healing that goes on there. Well, you know, I went to a church. Oh, a couple Fridays ago, about 30 minutes south of here. And I shared this with Pastor and Pastor Kaylee, Pastor Sally, Pastor Katie, that it was Friday. You know, it was Friday at 7 o'clock. I had a very rough week. I'm in sales, so I was a little bloodied and battered, and I couldn't decompress. I was, you know, I don't know where I was at, but so I go into the large room, large share group room, where the meeting is being held, and during worship, you know, beautiful music was being played. It was a wonderful experience, and I felt nothing. I was just, you know, within my head, and I couldn't concentrate, and I prayed to Jesus. I said, what's wrong with me? How come I don't feel anything? What's going on? I said, I literally prayed. I said, fix me. What's going on here? I don't get it, and I don't like it. Well, after the worship was over, this church had their CHIP ceremony. For those of you who aren't familiar with a Celebrate Recovery 12-step program, there's a CHIP ceremony which celebrates anniversaries, okay? This could be 30 days, 1 day, a week, a month, 7 years, so on and so forth. So as I'm sitting there, the people that were going up to get their CHIPs had a look on their face that was indescribable, beautiful, okay? These people, one woman was very elderly and walked up to get her CHIP with a limp. Nothing was gonna stop her, you know? Nothing was gonna stop her. And then another person came up. He had a very bad lisp, okay? But nothing was gonna stop him either. Another person came up, and person after person came up to get their CHIPs. And it dawned on me that these people came to that church and Celebrate Recovery to find hope, and they found it. And you know what? You could tell. You could tell that they got there, they surrendered, they got on their knees, and they stayed there. And they haven't gotten up since. It was just one of those God moments where it was like, thank you. You know, here I was, I couldn't feel anything, and then I'm to the point of tears watching what Jesus had done within these people's lives. Very, very powerful. Okay, so then, after that, if that weren't enough, we went to the small share group meeting. The women went to one room, the men went to another, and as we're sharing in the small group setting, you know, you see a pattern sometimes, and you see this in the Bible a lot. As we were going around the room, the men in the room, I was hopeless until Jesus Christ. I was hopeless until Jesus Christ. I was hopeless until Jesus Christ. And then it came to me, and I'm like, you know, I was hopeless until Jesus Christ as well. And I'm like, okay, you got my attention, Jesus. I get it. This is about hope. Tonight's about hope. And then the gentleman to my left, he was the last one to go. His daughter has been struggling with drug addiction all her life, and she's currently in rehab. This wasn't her first rehab stint either. He was there because he was hurting. And he shared that, you know, he came there because he was hurting, but he was going to be leaving there because he found hope, that there was hope. I really like this ministry. I tell you what, this God's at work on this ministry. This is something special. It really, truly is. Okay, one more story, and then we're going to get into the meat of the program. I went to a Celebrate Recovery conference in Milwaukee with the CR team. And one of the CR ministry leaders shared a story of how there was a gentleman who walked into one of the meetings, and he had on a black trench coat, a black hat, unshaven, suspected maybe that he was mentally ill. Well, anyway, this ministry leader went to the back of the room and said, why don't you come and sit by me, okay? Befriending this man and helping this man, they realized that he did have a mental illness, okay? And they helped him to get medical attention and medicine. To make a long story short, this man went back and got his high school diploma, his college degree, and he's married now. You know? That's a miracle. That is an absolute miracle. Can we be a part of that? Can we be a part of that type of a miracle? I know I want to be. I'm absolutely ready to be a part of this type of miraculous work of Jesus Christ. And this is just one miracle of many. I mean, there's many, many, many more miracles that happen. People who have been transformed by Christ. This is very exciting stuff. In this dark world, this is very exciting stuff. If you agree with that, would you please say amen one more time? Thank you. Okay. We are going to, I'm sorry, I'm going to back up. One more scripture verse, it's Matthew 5:3, another one of the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is, this to me is the Jesus loves the meek verse, okay? And I saw that. I see this in Celebrate Recovery ministries. Jesus loves the meek. He goes for those people. He goes for the marginalized people in this country and in this world. Okay, society, our world, will prey upon these people. The people that I saw go up and get their chip, okay, they're the people that would be preyed upon and taken advantage of and laughed at in this country and in this world, but not Jesus. Mm-mm. These are the people Jesus goes after and loves. Okay, how many times do we read about that in here? Okay, and what a, you know, I've got a very long list of why I love Jesus and how amazing he is and why he's my Lord, Savior, and my hero. Okay, I mean, it goes on and on and on. But the fact that if you are marginalized, if you're on the outside margin of the document, okay, that's okay. Okay, he still loves you and he's coming for you and he'll rescue you. That's our Lord and Savior. Hey, you know what? Have you ever wondered what a beatitude is, what that word means? Well, I looked it up not that long ago, and I'm a bit of a word geek, admittedly, but beatitude comes from the Latin word beatitudo, and that means a condition of blessedness, okay? So if we want to have blessed lives, we read the Beatitudes, and we follow Christ's example and directions on how to be blessed. Thought that was very, very beautiful. And the Beatitudes, boy, I tell you what, after I went to that CR meeting, I ran right for the Beatitudes and read them. I'm like, okay, Jesus, you're trying to teach me something else as well. Okay, it's time for our acrostic, right? We have to have an acrostic. And today's acrostic is amends. Hopefully you picked up one of the cards. They were out on the table in the back of the sanctuary. If not, I think we're going to pass them out. The first letter in amends is admit. Okay, we admit the hurt and the harm. Okay, men, pay attention. Our world and our society has said that if you're a man, you're not supposed to express your feelings. Okay, keep those suppressed. Have you ever noticed that men don't live as long as women? Okay, and the women in the audience are looking at their husband saying, "See, I told you." Okay, I've been trying to tell you this. But no, seriously. Also, men have a higher rate of alcoholism. Did you know that? That's true. So is there a correlation? I don't know for sure, but boy, it sure does make sense, doesn't it? It's okay to share your feelings. You learn this in this 12-step program, okay? You really do. It's a Christ-centered recovery program, and you learn that it's okay to share your feelings and to get it out. That's completely against what the world teaches us, but not what Christ teaches us. Luke 6:37, it says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven." Forgiveness was something that I struggled with all my life, until I read this. You see, I wanted to be forgiven for my sins, and believe me, it's a long list, but I wasn't so quick to forgive others. Doesn't work that way. Jesus taught me that, okay? It goes both ways, it's a two-way street. After reading this, thinking about it, meditating on it, I've been able to forgive. I've been able to forgive those in my past who have harmed me. And also, I have been forgiven as well. Now, what happens when we don't forgive? It's destructive, isn't it? It really is. I mean, there's all kinds of physiological and biological proof that it's destructive to our bodies. What about to our spirits? What about to our psyche? What about to our mental state? You know, if you don't forgive someone, and I know there's some really bad things that happen in this world to people, and I'm not trying to make light of that at all. If we don't forgive those who have harmed us, they keep harming us. You know, it doesn't stop. But if we forgive them, okay, we cut the cord, if you will, and we can move on. Okay, the next letter in amends is M. We make a list. This can be difficult as well. This is where we go to Jesus for strength and courage again. Okay, we're going to write a list of all the people that we have harmed and all the people that have harmed us. Some people struggle with this because we're dredging up the past, so to speak, okay? But, you know, we can't We can't overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups unless we expose the darkness to Christ's light. You know, we really can't. So we make our list. This is also a step where we lean on and ask for the help of a sponsor, a pastor, or an accountability partner. You don't have to go this alone at all. In fact, many times in a 12-step this 12-step program, you do have a sponsor or an accountability partner. Again, you're not meant to go this alone. Okay, the E in amends stands for encourage. I love this word. Okay, we encourage one another. Again, we work with a sponsor or an accountability partner, work with a pastor. Did you know that the word encourage comes from the Greek word palakaleo, and that the word palakaleo occurs 105 times in the New Testament? 105. Do you think Jesus is trying to tell us something? You know, I think he is. I think there's a very, you know, he's coming loud and clear. You need to encourage each other. But the word encourage does not mean to compliment. It can mean that, okay, as part of the definition, but it's not just a compliment. What encourage means is to comfort one another, to teach, and to provide strength, to strengthen. That's what encourage means. Now, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, okay, why 105 times in the New Testament? Well, when you think about it, do you think the early church needed a lot of encouragement? Yeah, absolutely. It sure did. It needed a ton. And so do we. So do we. And then, you know, discourage, that means to lose heart. Now, I like to think of this as well this way. Let's say that you see someone that's down and out, and they're weak, okay? You can take some of your courage and put that in them. And on the other side, discourage, you see someone that actually is doing all right. You know, they've got some momentum, they've got some courage, and you come along and you take that away from them, and you cause them to lose heart. I know that going forward, and this is something that I've been working on, am I going to be an encourager or a discourager? I'm going to start to try to be more of an encourager and not be so much of a discourager. Maybe I'll start it next week. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to start it today. No, really, think about it. Do you think our world needs encouragement these days? You know, I mean, I catch myself, you know, where, you know, you're a discourager. And I confess that, you know, I really do, because that's not how we should be. That's not a good example of a Christian. So I think that it would be wonderful if we all work on this and try to be encouragers rather than discouragers. In Luke 6:35, it says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Huh, love your enemies. You know, if you're in the crowd and you heard Jesus said this and you're a zealot, you'd be thinking, love your enemies? Are you kidding me? We want to fight the Romans, you know? They probably thought to themselves, Jesus, why don't you tell us to go back home and make weapons and sharpen our swords? You know, ready us for battle. But Jesus didn't do that. Quite a different message. Love your enemies. Not always easy to do, but Jesus did, didn't he? You know, he really did. Very profound. Okay, we're moving on to the D in amends. Do it at the right time. Okay, timing is very important. Did I skip one? Oh, I did. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you very much, Diana. Okay, the N in amends. I'm on a roll here. The N in amends is a reason for making the amends, and it's not for them. Now, that seems kind of weird and counterintuitive, doesn't it? You're making an amends, and you're not doing it for the person you're making the amends to. You're actually making it for yourself. And why would you do it for yourself? This is about your healing and your freedom and your emancipation from your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Okay? This is looking forward, by the way. It's not looking back. How can you serve God when you're so burdened with your past? We have to heal our past and move forward. If we don't heal our past, we can't move forward. And if when we do make the amends to someone, we don't get defensive. You know, the person we're making the amends to, we let them have their peace, and we don't make excuses. We say, okay, very good, I understand, and we move on, okay? Okay, now I am moving on to D. Okay, we do it at the right time. Timing is very important here with this process. And by the way, we don't do it when we feel like it, because that day may never come, you know? I mean, when you really think about it. Also, we're very careful if we're going to make an amends to someone, and let's say they're very elderly and they're sick, or they're sick and not elderly, you may want to hold off with making the amends. Okay, so timing is important. And I want to read you from Philippians. This is wonderful and amazing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That is an action-packed couple of verses, isn't it? I mean, think about this. Don't be selfish. Okay? Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, and take an interest in others too. That is an action-packed couple of verses, if I ever did see it. Absolutely powerful and wonderful. Okay, the last letter in amends, home stretch here. We should have you home for the Bears game by the second half. No problem, don't worry about it. Okay, the last letter in amends is S. That stands for Start Living the Promises of Recovery. This is the hooray letter of this word. You know, if you genuinely and sincerely accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow Him into your life, let Him take over the healing process, okay? Work the steps sincerely and genuinely. It is a promise. It's an absolute promise that you will be healed. Guarantee you. It happened to me. I know this from experience. There was no way that I was ever going to get sober. And the wild thing is, I would have settled for sobriety, okay? I really would have. But I got so much more than that by trusting in Jesus, getting on my knees and staying there and working these steps, okay? I got peace, joy, hope. Here's the word again, indescribable. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. It can happen to any or for anyone, okay? Nobody's left out. My story is absolutely incredible and amazing, and it's not because of me. I'm transparent for a couple of reasons, three reasons really, okay? I'm transparent with my past because I want to give glory to Him. That's why. Okay, number two, I want to help others. If my testimony can help someone else, I'm all for it. And then also, I'm drawing a blank. Don't go anywhere. I mean, look at my notes. Okay, let's see. Let me go through my list. I'm going to mental checklist. Okay, here's Larry. Anyway, we'll come back to that one. Okay, so whatever your hurt, hang-up, or habit, depression, anger, addiction, anxiety, eating disorder, sexual sin, whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter at all. Christ will heal you. This ministry will work wonders in your life. This is a miracle ministry. Again, we work the steps sincerely. And you know what's going to happen? Okay? You'll be transformed. And your life will be transformed. The word transformed, another way of looking at that, Pastor talked about it last week, is to transcend your form. Okay? Here's your physical life. Hello, spiritual life. You rise above your physical life. If that's all you were before, Jesus introduces you to your spiritual life, okay? You transcend your form. It's absolutely amazing, and it's miraculous. Okay, we're wrapping up here. Reminder, Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered recovery program. We get on our knees, all of us, stay there and never get up. You know, there's a mantra of many churches, come as you are. It was brought to my attention at a Celebrate Recovery conference that some churches are good at the come, but they leave out the as you are. Not this church. Not this church. You know why? Because when I came here a year and a half ago, you welcomed me with open arms. And you showed me love. And helped me with my journey. And put your arm around me. And comforted me. And I sorely needed it. Because when I came in here a little over a year and a half ago and met with Pastor, I was hopeless. I was depressed. Guilt-ridden. Full of shame. And if that wasn't enough, I thought there was a very real possibility that I was going to hell. That's heavy stuff. That's heavy stuff. Not anymore. That's gone. That's gone. Okay? I've been born again. I've got peace and joy. I've got hope. And I've got love. And you know, along the way, I learned responsibility. And responsibility is another one of those words where it scares us. I'm not, what am I guilty of? I'm not culpable. I'm not responsible. Don't look at me. Okay? That's not what the word is intended to be. Okay, responsibility means to respond with ability. So you can take responsibility if you wanted to for world hunger. Okay? Say, well, wait a minute, I didn't cause world hunger. Well, how can I take responsibility for that? Well, you can respond with ability. You can go to a Feed My Starving Children site and pack those food bags. There, you've responded with ability, haven't you? Okay, same thing with the rain. You can take responsibility for the rain. It's raining outside, I don't want to get wet. Tell you what, I'm going to pop open an umbrella. There you go, you responded with ability. Same thing with your recovery. Take responsibility, it's okay. Respond with ability. Get on your knees, stay there, work the steps. Okay, and then finally, last point, bringing it on home. Be a valley dweller. Be a valley dweller. You know, a friend of mine, Paul and I, are reading a daily devotional that is really powerful. And the writer of this daily devotional talks about, you know, sometimes we're on the mountaintop with God. You know, we're feeling it. You know, it's wonderful. But he calls us to go down to the valley, doesn't he? You know, it would be nice to stay there, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go down into the valley because that's where all the spiritual growth occurs, isn't it? You know, that's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to serve. So if you're here today and you don't have a hurt, hang up, or habit, praise God for that. That's awesome. Really, truly, that's a wonderful thing. And even if you do, please come into the valley with us. It's my prayer that when we open our doors in January with our Celebrate Recovery ministry, that we have poor, maybe dirty, unshaven, desperate, hopeless, helpless people coming in those doors. Let's get dirty. Let's help them, you know, because that's what Jesus did for us. Thank you so much. I hope you have a blessed day and a blessed week.